Several weeks ago, in our sermons on Sunday, we were reading further into the Gospel of Matthew, and we were taking a close look at the parables of Jesus that described what the kingdom of God is like. Or in Matthew's, Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven, which is the same. And Jesus talked about how the kingdom of heaven is like is like a seed that grows a large tree. The kingdom of heaven is like a field that a person finds a treasure in, then sells everything to buy the field so that they can have the whole thing. And just all different aspects of what it is that this kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is. Starting today and for the next few weeks, we're going to go back to the beginning where Jesus is teaching the disciples what it means to live in the kingdom as individuals and as a community. And that will lead us probably to the Thanksgiving time. So that will answer the question why we're working backwards in the Gospel of Matthew. Many years ago, there was a film made about test pilots who had the goal of breaking the sound barrier. As they reached the golden nugget of 735 miles an hour, bad things started to happen to their planes, and they crashed. There was one pilot, Chuck Yeager, who applied some really good critical thinking about this and started wondering why. And let me just offer a disclaimer. I don't know much about this. I don't know about being a pilot. I ride in the seat for Southwest Airlines and pay them my money, good money to do so. And they keep the plane up in the air. That's all I need to know. But Chuck Yeager started thinking about why it was that the planes were basically disintegrating and that the controls just didn't work right once they reached that 735 mile an hour place. He went up in a plane to test his theory. And his theory was, well, his theory tested was, once he reached that point, you pull back on the stick, it's supposed to raise the nose of the plane. But what happened when the pilots would reach the speed of sound is it went the other way. Instead of the nose of the plane coming up, it went down. So when it reached the critical point, what Chuck Yeager did was, very courageously, he took the stick and he pushed it forward. Under normal conditions, the nose of the plane would go down. But now that he had reached the speed of the sound, just the opposite happened and the nose came up. And needless to say, he lived to talk about it. Now that was the film. And I must also let you know that after the film was released, Chuck Yeager was interviewed, and he said that wasn't quite how it happened in real life, but it was a good Hollywood story, and it's a good illustration for the scripture. What Jesus is doing from the very outset of his ministry is he is taking the controls and making them work backwards. He starts in the Gospels by announcing to repent or turn around, a 180 from going in one direction and go this direction, for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven has come near. Things are changing. And the Beatitudes, the scripture portion that we read this morning, it's very interesting that this would be at the beginning, the outset of his first major sermon. He's telling people that things are changing. Things in the kingdom of God are not what you're used to. They're upside down or they're backwards, they're inside out, however you want to look at it. And in the Beatitudes, this is not a list of moral injunctions. This is not a list of do this, don't do that, or you should or should not. That's not at all what this is. What it is, and it comes out in the Greek language, it's not a list of commands. It's just a statement of the way things are. Jesus is saying, this is reality. These are the facts in the kingdom of God. Also keep in mind that what Jesus is describing, he's really describing God's nature. He's describing how things are in the kingdom of God because they reflect who God is and what it looks like. People who live under God's reign, people who live according to the way God wants us to live, this is what it looks like. And the word blessed or blessed, many have changed that to a word that we can grasp a little bit more readily in our lives in the 21st century and have translated it as happy. Well, it's kind of hard to say, happy are you when you're grieving? Really? Be happy when people persecute you? I don't think so. That doesn't make people happy in the way we think about it. To get a really good idea of the type of blessedness or blessedness that Jesus is describing, we really have to look at the Old Testament. And I will not bore you with a Hebrew lesson. That's not the point. But think back into the Old Testament. There, the word bless, it's used a lot more, I think, in the Old Testament than the New. There are two Hebrew words that are translated into the English word bless. One is used in the context mostly of the Psalms, Psalm 103, bless the Lord. Now, you're probably familiar with that phrase, just bless the Lord. What that means is to bow down or to stoop. Reverence the Lord, bless the Lord, honor the Lord. The other is in Psalm 1. It's interesting that it starts the very first psalm. And Psalm 1:1 says, blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. Blessed. In this context, this Hebrew word, blessed, means to find the right road. Now that I can wrap my mind around, to find the right road. When you're on the right road and you're walking in the right direction, there's a sense of well-being, sense that things are right. So think about the Beatitudes in this way. Hear it in a different way. You are on the right road when you are humble, in a childlike way, and continue to look to God for help. You're on the right road when you have a sense of loss and you share this sense of loss this mourning with others, for you will be comforted and God will restore your joy. You're on the right road when you hunger and thirst for things to be set right, because they will be. That is what Jesus is talking about. And the things that he's talking about are the things that, it's the way of life that God has for us. And the reason is, as I was talking to our young disciples, when God originally created us, it was to reflect God's image to others around us and to all of creation. And as I, you know the story. Things went south, no offense, my southern brothers and sisters. Things went sideways real fast. How's that? Yankee I am, Yankee I will always be. Things went sideways. The good news is that God didn't give up on us and vaporize us. God sent Jesus. God became flesh to show us again who God is on a level that we could reach and wrap our minds and our hearts around. And in Jesus, God also shows us what it means to be truly human. Truly human in the sense that God created us to be human in relationship with God. And Jesus modeled that very well. Jesus, who is, can't understand it, 100% God and 100% human, it's just, it's beyond our reach as finite human beings. Jesus had a very close relationship with God, to whom he referred as Father. Jesus prayed on a regular basis. Jesus went to temple on Saturdays, on Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath, and then he did the works of God. And Jesus showed us what it was like to be human in relationship with each other. You know, our relationship with each other flows out of our relationship with God. And that's what these Beatitudes are all about, too, because they do reflect the nature of God primarily, and then us secondarily in showing us in very, very simple terms what it looks like to live the kind of life that God originally designed for us way back before things went sideways. And let's face it, this is not the world that Jesus lived in. This that Jesus is describing is not the world that we live in. Blessed are those, or you're on the right road when you mourn. We support each other when we're sad, especially when we lose a loved one. But after a while, we get tired of hearing it. We expect, you know, pull yourself up, let's get on with life. Let's get through it. Blessed are those, or you're on the right road when you are hungry and thirsty for things to be set right, for true justice, God's justice. What kind of justice do we have in this world? I mean, it's pretty, in most instances, not the kind of justice that God offers. You're on the right road when you are pure in heart, when you're authentic. Authentic meaning the real you on the inside is the you that everybody else gets a look at. You're the same inside and out. It's a matter of integrity, a matter of character. You're not one way when you're by yourself and with your family maybe, and then a different way when you're at church, and a different way when you're at work or with your friends. You're the same all the time because your heart is pure and your heart is right. No deceit, no trickery, no two-facedness. Some people would believe you wouldn't get too far in this world unless you had to play the game a little bit, and so on. This is the way. How can I put it? This is the good news that Jesus brought to the world in the first century when God's people were being oppressed by the Roman Empire, and the regular people like you and me were being squeezed out by the religious leaders. The people who were pure in heart and the people who were really hungry for things to be set right because they were needy, they were poor in spirit, and they were not being cared for by the people that they looked to care for them, which would have been their religious leaders. They were longing and they were hungry and they were getting nothing at the time. Jesus came and said, things are going to be different now. God's reign has returned. People were expecting the reign of God to come in with swords and horses and God to just take over everything and probably wipe out the Roman Empire and put the religious leaders on an island somewhere where they could fight out who was on top and set things right. But Jesus didn't have that way. Jesus came in quietly. And Jesus came in to set things right in word and in deed with a group, a motley group of men who were fishermen, and one was a tax collector. Jesus came in an unexpected way with a message that was really outrageous. He not only proclaimed God's dream, but he also embodied God's dream for you and I. And God's dream is a new humanity, which is possible through Jesus. And this new humanity has distinct practices that offer a living hope and really good news for the world and for every person, for those of us who can't seem to stop mourning or stop grieving, for people who are hungry and thirsty for things to be set right so that people's needs are met. What Jesus is describing is a community that's new, a community that is safe, an environment where it's easier to be good. And this is something, this is actually our calling. You know, the title of the sermon is Embracing Our Calling. Well, to embrace, I like Webster's Dictionary, it always helps me a lot. To embrace is to take something up very readily and gladly. And it's also to use eagerly. So our calling, we go after our calling. We find out what our calling is from God. And then we take it and run with it with gladness and with eager hearts. Because it's what our world needs. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, it's what we need too. It's what we were created for. And Jesus calls us to intentionally create this safe environment in this faith community. It's safe because those who are poor in spirit, those who are needy, a childlike humbleness, we can be that way here, and it's okay because we don't have to worry about somebody stepping on us and trying to take advantage of us. And it's a safe environment for those who are experiencing a sense of loss because I won't tell you to get over it. I won't send you in another direction because I don't want to mourn with you. It's a safe place for the meek who are the powerless and the poor and the humble. It's a safe place to be who you are and to share your feelings from the inside with your brothers and sisters around you. It's a safe place, but when we take that out into the world and we offer what Jesus is calling us to offer, it won't be readily accepted by other people. That's what he was telling the disciples, that you're going to be persecuted for this. And Jesus hadn't been taken to the cross yet. But he said, rejoice and be glad, because the prophets who were God's mouthpieces long ago were persecuted in the same way. This message of the gospel that Jesus brought, repent or change your way of thinking, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, that was the gospel message then, and you know it remains the same today. It's true today. The thing is we need each other to help each other live this kind of a way, live the Jesus way, following in Jesus' footsteps. This is our present reality and our future hope. So how do we embrace our calling? How do we eagerly go for it and pick it up and put it on and walk around in it and feel comfortable in it and take it outside the doors of the church? We do it in our daily lives when we do walk outside the church and start our week, and we do it when we're here together, whether we're worshiping in a worship service or we're studying God's word together or we're just having fun together. The one thing is to look to Jesus and to trust Jesus for what he has taught us in the word and the way Jesus has lived his life, the way he treated other people. I mentioned before the relationship that Jesus had with his Father God. He modeled it for us. It was very simple. And then the relationship that he had with other people, even the people who opposed him, the people who, yes, handed him over to be crucified. From the cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That was his attitude, his love from the cross. But then remember the good news. Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back just like he said he would. Because in following Jesus and living the way God wants us through by the power of God's Holy Spirit, there is new life. There is resurrection. We are resurrection people. And it's one thing for me to stand up here and talk about it. It's something totally different to live it. And I need you just as much as you need me, and we need each other to be the people that God has called us to be in this place at this time. When we're here together on a Sunday or another weekday as the faith community on Palaklakaha and Noxon, and when we all go into our different places during the week as individual daughters and sons of God. We need each other. That's one of the reasons why we need to start getting together and studying Scripture together and have small groups where we can get to know each other better, and we can have a smaller group fellowship. We can share our hearts with each other, and we can pray with each other and for each other. We can walk together, shoulder to shoulder. And when one of us is down, one of us is having a hard time, an especially hard time, we can be there for each other in very real Jesus ways. That's what this is all about. If we don't, then we're saying we don't believe what Jesus said, and we don't believe that Jesus has shown us what God is like. It's a yes or a no. We do it together, as a faith community, a church family, however you think of it in your terms. The good news is, I'll be right up front with you, we're going to blow it, and we're going to blow it big sometimes. But there is forgiveness. We'll have mercy to extend to each other. Mercy is kindness. How do we do that? Because we know the kindness and the mercy that we have first received from God through Jesus Christ. Paul says it very clearly, to be kind to one another, just as God in Christ is kind to you. Forgive one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And so on, and so on, and so on. God is very patient with us, and so we need to be very patient with each other and love each other like crazy. Are you in? Does it sound good? Yeah, we'll do it together. We'll figure it out. We are the First Presbyterian Church of Auburndale. But first and foremost, we are God's beloved. We are God's sons and God's daughters. We are brothers and sisters. We need God and we need each other. I'm in. I'm glad that you are too. Let's pray. God, you are so good to us. And that just scratches the surface. You know us better than we know ourselves. And your response to us, even when we stumble, is to give us more grace. And that does not make sense. God, help us to live into the reality of who you are and what your kingdom, what your rule, your reign, your way of living is all about. Show us, God. Infuse your Holy Spirit into our cells, into our DNA. Just make us the people that you have created us to be, to reflect your image to each other and to your world. Thank you for your forgiveness and your love and your tender mercies. Help us to remember this as we go out into our week. We ask in the name of Jesus, who loves us. Amen.